As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Another day working from home. Another day.
Morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Friday, August 4th, 2023. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, it's the bearded one, it's my top shot hot boy, it's Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, he's always working from home, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. No Tassie. He's extended the little family vacation. One more day, why not? It's the dog days of summer. In fact, we have a dog in this very classic factory, just over yonder, snoring away, sleeping on a couch, lights out, because there's nothing going on really in the NBA world.
Yeah, this dog is emblematic of the industry we're covering here, Skeets. We were pretty quiet, you know, pre-show, just having normal chats. The music starts up, we get a little bit louder, and still not a flinch from Cosmo.
No, that dog is out right now. Shout out to the stream team, though, joining us live on YouTube, looking a little more alive, hopefully. Like the vid, comment away, and subscribe to No Dunks. We just hit 82,000. We are marching to 100K. I want to get there before opening night of next season. Go get your No Dunks merch if you haven't done that over at nodunks.com. Hoodies and t-shirts and mugs and hats. We got it all. Tank tops for the summer. If you haven't fired up and listened to the latest No Bunts with Larry French, that's our guy, got us in a club once. This was such a fun podcast. Tass and Joel, he was there in Taiwan.
Chilling.
Yeah, talking to longtime camera operator Larry French. He used to work on the Starters back in the day. He works for the Braves. He's done like every sport imaginable. This guy has stories for days, and we made sure this No Bunts episode not only went up in the Athletic Baseball Show feed, but we had it in No Dunks. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it yet, TK, but it's so good. Like, he's such a great storyteller, and he's done everything.
I love this guy.
I know.
I love this
he's
guy.
He's so awesome.
You know, I feel like he always shows up when you least expect him, even though you should expect it when you go to a Braves game. But, you know, there's what? 30,000 people. How many people go to a baseball game? 20,000?
Yeah,
there's a lot of – there's thousands of people there, but somehow – Larry always finds you, and you always find Larry.
That's true.
It's amazing.
It's true. So I highly encourage you. I mean, you might see it. You might go, No Bunts, I have baseball. Listen to this one. It's just Tass asking questions to, again, our friend Larry French, who's just a delight. I think you'll like it. It was – I couldn't believe how long it went.
I know. Yeah.
But then I saw people in the comments like, oh, I wanted another hour, 45 minutes, because he just has so many stories. So go check that out, No Bunts, in the No Dunks feed. I have to ask you – because you were on vacation, you know, a mini vacation. Maybe, you went away with the fam to sort of like a cottage or cabin, whatever you want to call it. You were on a pond. Did you have any success when it came to the fishing?
I had the exact kind of success I was hoping for, Skeets. I told Matt, I told you on the show last week, I knew I was going to catch some fish.
Yeah.
But I wanted to catch a big old bass. Mm-hmm. And ladies and gentlemen, I caught a giant bass.
Wow, we got the photo here on YouTube. You ain't kidding. That's a big boy right there.
I weighed it 5.46 pounds.
Ooh, wow. Let's round up. 5.5 pounds.
Yeah, I call it 5.5. I'm calling that my best bass ever.
Okay.
Because the other big one I caught recently didn't have a scale with me. I know it was over 5 pounds just from the look and the feel of it, but this one is locked in and definitely bigger than anything I caught when I was a young boy. So, yeah, this happened about 2 hours into our trip.
Oh.
All the girls had gone inside. I got the fish on the line. Laura! Laura! Big one! Big one! Big one! Like really like crazy. They got come sprinting out as if something bad happened.
Right.
No, but something great happened. Big old fish.
Oh, so this happened, though, early in the trip.
So
and
early.
And they're trying to obviously match it or beat it the rest of the trip and I guess came up a little short slash small.
Yeah, short slash small. Okay. All the other fish I caught were probably 1 pound a piece.
Okay.
Maybe not even. So that's all I was expecting to catch, except for I guess there was one big boy out there.
So you did not keep this big boy, though?
I'm not a fish keeper.
Okay.
Well, I also didn't know what I would do with it.
Well, you talked about framing it or something.
Yeah, but also, okay, first of all, I don't know what you would even Google for that. Fish plasticizing? Number two, we're on vacation, so I don't know where I'm just going to keep a fish.
Yeah.
Fair. You know, throw it in the Yeti cooler. That was filled with pub sub skates. I couldn't do anything about it. So, yeah, couldn't keep it.
Well, we might as well just buy, what was it called? A big mouth Billy Bass?
Or yeah.
Was it,
yeah,
talking fish, the singing fish?
I've got two of those in my basement.
Of course.
Yeah, but it's because everybody bought them in the 90s and 2000s.
Yes.
Put them in their basements. Then I started catching fish again. They're like, oh, Trey's going to want this big mouth Billy Bass. And suddenly I got so many Billy Bass.
Okay, excellent. All right, bring one into the studio.
All right.
I guess we got two of them. All right, like we said, not a lot going on in the NBA world in terms of news. But we have a fun idea here. A few weeks ago, NBA win totals for the 2023 and 24 season, they were posted. Now, on today's show, on today's drop, we're not going to go through and discuss and place bets on every single team. We're going to save that content for October, when we usually do about two episodes. We'll do an Eastern Conference, we'll do a Western Conference, where we'll go through every single team, over, under, debate it with each other, you know, make our favorite bets and all that. But I thought we could go through all of the over-unders here, look at them by division, let's say, and maybe you or me, we could pick one or two within each division where you're like, ooh, that's tasty, or that's perplexing, or that's a smash that because that's an over or an under. You know what I mean? Just a like an appetizer to the main course later in October when it comes to these over-unders. We will be using BetMGM's odds for this as well. I know they differ a little bit sportsbook to sportsbook. And as you'll see when we get to the Western Conference, there is one team that is off the board. They don't have an over-under.
Only one, though.
Take a wild guess what team that is. But let's start in the Eastern Conference. The Atlantic Division, if you're joining us here again on YouTube, thank you. We've put together some graphics to make this a little easier to follow. But for you podcast listeners, I'll read it out. Over-under win totals, Atlantic Division. Again, all of these coming via BetMGM. Celtics, 53.5 wins. Sixers, 50.5 wins. The Knicks, 43.5 wins. And the Nets and Raptors, both at 37.5 wins. So, Trey, again, we're not going to go through every team, but what's the tastiest one to you on the board here when it comes to the Atlantic Division?
The top two honestly stuck out to me. Celtics, 53.5. Sixers, 50.5.
Okay.
I want to go under on both of them.
Oh.
I don't think that will happen. Like, one of these teams will win 50 games, I imagine,
yeah,
between the Celtics and the Sixers. But I feel like things have changed for both teams. I guess nothing's really changed for Philadelphia yet, but it seems like it will, and that's mm-hmm. part of it to me. Either they're going to have James Harden coming in, upset that he hasn't been traded, which could be tough, or they're going to actually pull off the trade before the season happens, mm-hmm. and they have no James Harden. The guy led the league in assists last year. He's not MVP James Harden, but he's still a good player who helps their team. They also lost George Niang in the offseason, so the depth will be hampered a little bit. I'm mm-hmm. a Maxi fan, but I don't know how he would fare as the number one perimeter guy alongside Joel Embiid, and then Embiid himself is a question mark. 68 games played and 66 games played the last couple of seasons. That's great health.
That's good
for Joel Embiid. Yeah. Can you count on that again? Who knows? Either he's going to pace himself to be fresh for the playoffs, because as he's been playing more during the regular season, seems like he's wearing out even more in the postseason, and that's going to be the next goal for the Sixers now that Embiid has his MVP. So I'm a little down on the Sixers this offseason. And then the Celtics, I think, they're just dealing with the biggest change they've had to their core since Kyrie Irving left the team in 2019. With Marcus Smart going out, Kristaps Porzingis going in.
Right.
They're losing their defensive identity from Marcus Smart. They're losing his playmaking as well. He's obviously an emotional leader on that team. Porzingis is an injury risk, certainly. He was great for the Wizards last season, but that's definitely something to factor in here. The thing with the Celtics, though, they won 57 games last year, so they could even take a step back here and still go over, which I think is actually what they did last season. I don't really remember, but both of those just seem like one of those teams is going to come under, either the Celtics or the Sixers. I guess I would guess the Sixers.
That's what I would, too, because I saw the 53.5 for Boston, and I was like, wow, that seems
kind of low.
Almost low, because you're right. The big question mark is how does Porzingis fit, but top seven on this team, good as any in the league, right? When you're talking, obviously, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, who just got the bag, Porzingis now, White, Brogdon still there, and then the two bigs in Horford and Time Lord. That's a really good seven. They still got a bunch of white guys. They got their Pritchard. They got their Hauser. They got their Cornett. And then they've brought in O'Shea Brissett, Delano Banton, I believe, there. Jordan Walsh, who they're really high on, looked good in summer league. And I've said this before, I'm really intrigued with Charles Lee and Sam Cassell joining Joe Mazzulla's staff there, especially Charles Lee. What he might implement defensively, I think, could be fascinating. Is it sort of a Bucks-like drop coverage, and does that unlock something? Yeah, they lose Smart, but they're still going to be a solid defensive team, I think. So I think, 57 last year, 51 the year before that. So you're right, I believe they hit the over last year. I just think they're so good that that's still like a 55-win-ish team to me.
Yeah.
Again, with that continuity.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that one I was like, oh, okay. And then the Raptors, just quickly, 37.5. The disrespect. The lowest here, tied with the Nets in the Atlantic Division. But that's a big, and I just went on the No Cap Room podcast with Dan Devine. We did a deep dive on the Raptors, if you want to go listen to that. Part of Yahoo Sports there, the Ball Don't Lie blog. It's like, how's it going to work? How's it going to work with Scottie Barnes as your go-to guy? Is Siakam there? Probably at this point.
Probably.
Those rumors have died down. But can they get back to being a defensive team? If they are, then I think they sort of hit that 37.5 over. But it's like such a, like, you know, they give Scottie Barnes the ball. He's the point guard. Let's say it's a rough start. Let's say it's a bad first 3 weeks. It's like, how long do they roll with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, do they like, no, we got to give him the chance here? Or do they sort of panic and pivot and in either, you know, leaning towards a Schroeder as just like your starting point guard, or even going and trying and getting one? So that's why I can see that number where it is.
Yeah, the Raptors have won more than 38 games a lot of times.
Yes.
Basically since the 2021 season when they were playing in Tampa at that point, right?
Yeah.
I think they were. Lowry, I suppose, was gone as well. Or was leaving, whatever. The Raptors, it's hard to figure. I think it's hilarious. Them and the Bulls, the exact same over-under, so that's going to be my question. Who gets the more wins between the Bulls and the Raptors?
Well, let's go to the Central Division.
Right.
Yes, the Bucks lead the way in the Central Division. They're over under 52.5. You got the Cavs at 49.5. The Bulls, there they are, just like the Raps, at 37.5. Pacers right behind them at 36.5. And then the Pistons bringing up the rear in the Central Division, 27.5 Detroit's at. So, yeah, start with your Bulls here. You said, who's going to win more games, Bulls or Raps? Is that the bet we're going to be placing?
I think we got to.
Yeah, I think
coming
right.
in with the same over under. Bulls won 40 and 46 games the last two seasons. They added Javon Carter. They added Torrey Craig. Last year, they went 13-9 when Patrick Beverley came to the team. Literally having a point guard who knows how to play point guard was all that mattered. For the Bulls, they were like a top 10 defense in the league. So I think 37.5 is a little bit low for the Bulls. But, you know, I'm a homer, so I think they're going over just like you think the Raps are going over.
Well, yeah, to use like what you were just talking about, like particular players obviously increasing your chances of winning. Same thing with Poeltl. When he came to the Raps, they were like a much, much better team because they had a defensive big back there. I think they went 15-10, maybe 15-11 if you're going to count the play-in loss. So, you know, that's well over a 37.5 win team. That's well over a 38 win team. So, yeah, we will see which one is for real. Any other ones there in the Central that, like, surprised you or, you know, you're like, ooh, that's a little tasty?
I really like the Pacers over. They're only at 36.5 wins. They went 35-47 last season, and Tyrese Haliburton played 8 games after the All-Star break.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
They won 35 games last year?
I said it out loud right now, and it seems crazy to me.
Double check that.
35-47.
Wow, what's up with this line? Then?
Yeah, what's up with this line?
That is a little strange.
I mean, I guess, did the Eastern Conference get a lot better? I don't know. I guess we're kind of assuming, like, Damian Lillard is likely coming east, so maybe that makes the Heat a better regular season team. Sixers are about the same, maybe losing Harden. Bucks are the same team.
Yeah.
Celtics are the same team with Porzingis added in. They're going to be good as well. I guess the Nets will probably take a step back. We didn't talk about, but yeah, I like this over for the Pacers because they were good last year. Tyrese Haliburton's going to be playing on Team USA, so he's going to be in rhythm. You see a lot of guys take another leap forward when they have that national team experience. Plus, they added Bruce Brown, Obi Toppin, and Jairus Walker. They addressed the biggest need they had, the four spot. I think Brown and Toppin will both be solid playing next to Haliburton and Mathurin and Buddy Hield running the court, and Duncan and Brown, I'm sure, will handle the ball quite a bit. So I'm up on the Pacers as long as Halliburton's healthy.
Yeah, the Pacers to me seem like one of the sexiest picks, like for one of those teams to like sort of that, yeah, sort of level up, right? And I feel like the Thunder in the Western Conference, I know we'll get to them, maybe are in the same boat. Detroit's interesting too at only 27.5. I saw that line before, maybe it was on another sports book a week or so ago, at 23.5, and I really like that number. 27.5, I think they figured it out there at BetMGM, because Detroit hasn't won more than 23 games since 2018-19 campaign, and we obviously saw Dwayne Casey get fired after the 17-65 record this past season. Monty Williams comes in here, you know, which... he's got an incredible win percentage, like, over the last couple of years. Obviously, had a good team. But they lost Cade Cunningham last year.
Mm-hmm.
After what? Like, he played, like, less than 15 games, if I remember. It was...
12 games,
It was not a lot. And not that they were, like, you know, lighting it up when he was in there. But, I mean, he's a great, great player. And he's a table setter. Well, we think he is.
We'll
and
see.
I believe
we'll
he
see.
Is. So that number just intrigued me with the new coach. With some, like, okay, we've got a lot of talent now. Let's start trying to win. I think they're going to be flirting with that is what I'm getting at. You know, I love it at 23.5. I don't love it as much at 27.5. But we always have in the NBA season a couple teams that are sub 30 wins. Like there was 4 last year. Hornets, Pistons, Rockets, and Spurs. I actually went and checked. The average number of teams to win fewer than 30 games over the last 5 full seasons, so get rid of those 2 that were a little short, is 5.8. So about 6 teams per season are under 30 wins.
Yeah.
It's actually a little bit more than I would have thought before I looked at checked again over the last 5 full seasons. So I guess my point is here, there's going to be some of these teams that you like, you always want to talk yourself into like, oh yeah, they were bad, but they're going to be much better. Like you can put them down for 10 more wins. It's like, well, either that's not going to be the case with some of these squads or some of these good teams, like borderline good teams, like maybe the Raptors or Bulls for crying out loud, like really, really struggle. And they're one of those really bad teams. So yeah, I don't know. I'm torn on this Pistons 27.5 line.
I would say definitely under.
Definitely under.
I don't think they didn't add anybody.
They added
Monty Williams, and they're hoping Cade Cunningham plays more than 12 games. He was bad in his 12 games that he played last year. So, I don't know. It just seems like they're coming in basically the same as last year. Some of these teams got to be the worst teams in the league, and I think the Pistons are one of them.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Let's move on to the Southeast Division. Over-under win totals. The biggest number here in this division right now is the Miami Heat at 48.5. Now, obviously, it's the whole Lillard situation here. Is that baked into that number? Not at all. Who knows? Hawks at 42.5. Kaka. Magic 35.5. Hornets 31.5. And we can go lower, people. Wizards at 24.5, which is the worst in the Eastern Conference. Funny little conference here, division, excuse me, here.
That's a funny one.
Yeah, what jumps out to you?
The Heat is interesting. They've only won 48 games once since Jimmy Butler showed up. They played at a pace that would have been 48-plus wins during the pandemic season, but they lost two starters, and they haven't done the Dame trade yet. Like, it hasn't happened yet. This is a team that wants to be their best in the postseason. They did have a year where they led the Eastern Conference in wins. I think they got to 51 that season, but that doesn't seem the way the Heat generally operate. So they've taken a step back as of now. It feels like the Dame trade will happen at some point, but maybe it has to go into the season. You know, he's under contract for quite some time, and it's easy to see Jimmy Butler taking time off until Dame shows up. So I think I would probably go under on the Heat. 48 wins isn't a ton for a team that we just saw in the finals. Made two finals in four seasons, but I would guess under. Just because I don't think they care about the regular season.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, yeah. And with the whole Damian Lillard situation, I keep saying it's going to happen this week. I guess the week is not over. When does the week end to you? Is it Friday or is it Sunday?
Sunday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we got the weekend for Damian Lillard still to be traded to Miami Heat. Then it's interesting, yeah, whether obviously people would be... I think if he goes there, people will be smashing this line. And it will it will increase by like 5 right away, sure. Right? It'll jump to like 53.5. I think the disrespect on the Hawks is a little fascinating here. 42.5, that's pretty low. Because Quinn Snyder comes in halfway, you know, last year. Or not even. He's going to have a full, obviously, camp and, you know, a really good chance to implement what he wants to. They are a good team. They made some moves. They're probably not even done. I don't know. 42.5 seems disrespectful to me.
The Hawks, though. I mean, remember how long they went where they couldn't win or lose two straight games
yes,
in a row?
Yeah, they need some consistency.
And they didn't do anything. Like, their biggest ad is getting a full season of Quinn Snyder.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't playing.
You don't think... I mean, you're right. You want to be like, oh, we added this, we added that, we didn't lose a lot. But there is something to continuity. We've seen it before, at least.
They traded their longest tenured guy.
John Collins. Yeah, they finally got rid of him.
They added two guys whose last name are Matthews. Spelled different. Garrison Matthews and Wes Matthews.
Garrison Matthews. I had forgotten about Garrison Matthews finding his way to Atlanta.
Oh, Gary Bird meet Harry the Hawk.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
That'd be a fun short if they want to have some content with that.
I'm with you. I think they should go over. The Hawks should win 43 games. That's not a ton of wins.
No.
That's basically playing 500 basketball and getting two Trae Young game winners. But I think the Hawks will probably win 42 games or 41 games. Perfectly 500.
Yeah, well, exactly. Vegas is assuming they win one, lose one. Win one, lose one, and then get very, very close. I don't know. I like the over on the Hawks, and I'm not just saying that because we're here. And just what about the Wizards at that very, very low 24.5? Would you really lean towards they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league? They have no problem being one of the worst teams in the league. And you would go under, or?
I probably would go over. I think the Wizards are going to be better than the Pistons. I don't know if that's a take.
Okay.
No. I don't think that's a take that anybody cares about. But they've got three like legit players in their starting lineup between Kuzma, Jordan Poole, and Tyus Jones. DeLon Wright is still around. They still got like quality players. They're just going to luck into a few wins, I believe, at least early in the season. We'll see if they end making moves come trade deadline time. That's what we're always saying about the Wizards. Yeah. But I don't know. They've got too many pros around to, I think, be the worst team in the East.
I wonder... Is it possible that the Wizards pull off what the Jazz did a little bit this last season, where it's like they surprise a bunch of people, they look a little bit more competent than you would thought, and then they go, oh, hold on, we don't want to be this good. Obviously the Jazz made some moves, and they wanted to be bad because they're like, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I wonder if you could see that a little bit with the Wizards, if they surprise at all. This is the Wizards we're talking about here. I mean,
hey, 35 wins last year.
I mean, they're going to have a bunch of guys that are going to score a ton, but you know, are they going to stop anyone will be the real cue. We'll see. That's the Eastern Conference. I said we're going to move with some pace here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the tasty over-unders when it comes to the Western Conference. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory on a Friday. This is The Drop. And yes, Cosmo the dog is still fast asleep over on the couch. Okay, we've done the Eastern Conference, sort of made our way through all of the over-unders, at least showed them to you all, and picked out a few that we debated a little bit there, too, I'd like to see. Let's do the same in the West. We'll start with the Northwest Division, where the champion Denver Nuggets reside. Over-under win totals, all these come in by way of BetMGM. Nuggets! That's a typo. That's supposed to be 54.5. That's my bad.
I'm going over 50.5, though.
Wolves, 43.5. Thunder, 43.5. Jazz, 35.5. And there it is, the Blazers. They are off the board because we are waiting to see Damian Lillard get traded this weekend, according to me. So, yes, that's Nuggets, 54.5. My bad. Hopefully that's my only typo here. What do you think?
I think I'm going to regret it. But I want to go over on the Timberwolves.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. Man. 42-40 last year. I was like, I know Karl Towns didn't play a whole bunch last season. Only 29 games. Unfortunately, they were only 15-14 when he was on the court.
Right.
So it didn't really boost my case. Like, well, if they get a healthy season from Towns, maybe they'll be way better than 500. No, they were just about a 500 team last year. But I think they're going to be better in year two than they were in year one. They're basically running it back. They've got seven players doing World Cup stuff.
I do like that.
Which I think is, you know, helpful to get, just stay in rhythm, that kind of stuff. We know Rudy Gobert is shooting three-pointers now. Made one, said it felt like he lost his virginity.
I saw that.
Three-pointers are sweet.
So, yeah,
Rudy Gobert shooting threes is why I'm over on the Wolves. No, I'm kidding. I'm an Anthony Edwards believer. I don't love that he changed his number to number five. He's a classic number one guy to me as a number one pick. He carries himself as a number one. So, I don't know. I just have to imagine that the Wolves won't be as dramatic as they were last season. These guys were punching each other on the sidelines during the playoffs. They also made it to the playoffs last year. They were a top 10 defense last year, which seems strange because we talked about how it didn't look like Rudy Gobert had a huge effect on the Timberwolves, but they ended up playing okay, so it's tough to throw in with the Timberwolves sometimes, but I'm in on the over. 44 wins. They should be able to win 44 games. They've got a ton of talent.
They do. I think it was, who was it? Was it Bruce Brown of the Nuggets, obviously formerly of the Nuggets at this point, saying the Wolves were their toughest out?
Gave them the toughest
in the playoffs.
Time in the playoffs.
Yeah, a little shot there at the Phoenix Suns, I think, but okay, whatever. Yeah, the Wolves and Thunder both at 43.5. There's going to be a lot of people going over on one of those teams, if not both of them, because I feel like the Thunder, they are a sexy pick for people.
They are
a team that has obviously talent, some depth. Chet Holmgren suddenly in this lineup as a big that can stretch the floor, can give them some rim protection. And it's just like, you just think, people are like talking themselves. I'm hearing people going as far as saying like, you watch, Thunder going to be in the Western Conference Finals. Going to shock a lot of people. Like, people are going like, they're going to be hosting, you know, a playoff series, home court advantage. Like, wow. If you buy all that and believe in these guys and just that continued growth, which I sort of do, sure, 44 wins, that's not asking a whole lot. They were, you know, basically a 500 team last year. I think they were 40-42 in the end. So, you know, you're knocking on that door. I see it, but I'm just, my reservation is so many people are saying, oh, Thunder are a lock for over, hit it, smash it. And it's like, oh, that gives me pause. But I see why both those teams, the Wolves and Thunder, there's, you see the talent, you've seen them at their best, and they look like a really squad team. It's just always consistency with these teams. There's a fly.
Yeah, this is
that's
a
like
good one.
There's a fly going from my computer to your computer to the table. It seems a little drunk and slow, and I think we can.
You'll get
I think
it.
One of
I
us can get it.
It.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at this.
I will say though, this fly is playing it pretty smooth here. Never landing.
Well,
just he keeps circulating.
No, he was perched on my computer, and I just
that's
blew
a dangerous
by
spot.
Me.
Yeah.
We'll get it.
Nope.
So I like the Thunder. I will be one of these guys, one of these suckers going Thunder over. And Nuggets 54.5, just to before we move on. You know, you always want to say, like, yeah, they're going to be at the top of everyone's power rankings. They're defending champs. They lost some of their bench, but they might have some other guys that they just slot in there. You got Jokic and Jamal Murray. I mean, how bad can you be? You're probably, like, in your sleeper 55-win team. But do you or where will they like sort of take their foot off the gas a little bit like they did
that's
at the end
of
last
season? Year, exactly. Yeah. They got to 53 wins last year, and that was basically like throwing the MVP for Jokic at the end of the season.
Yeah.
He's like, I do not want this. Let's lose a bunch of games and make it up in the finals. Teams go different ways after they win a championship.
Yeah.
When LeBron won his first championship with the Lakers or with the Heat, they were incredible the season after. That's when they had like the 27-game win streak, if I'm not mistaken. Other teams like the Bucks are like, we won a championship. Let's play it the same way where we're ready for the postseason.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to say which way Denver goes. I don't know. I mean, I would just go – I'm likely would go under
so
on
I,
this one.
Just
barely,
yeah.
Like they could get to 54 wins.
Yeah.
They could still lead the Western Conference and go under, but I don't know. They could win 60 easily.
Yeah.
They've got a great team.
I also looked, just like I did for the bottom dwellers over the last five full seasons, I looked at the teams to win 50-plus games. Last season, how many teams do you think won over 50 games? 50 or more?
Last season?
Yeah.
Celtics? Sixers? Bucks?
Bucks are
Nuggets,
definitely.
Four?
It's actually six.
Six?
But you named a lot of them. Bucks won 58 games.
Grizzlies?
Yeah. And then there's one more. I don't have in front of me. Year before, eight teams. Over 50 wins. Suns won 64 that year. Then we had the two shortened seasons. 2018-19, another eight teams. Bucks won 60. They led the way. Year before that, 17-18, six teams again. Rockets led the way with 65 wins. And then finally in 16-17, we also had eight. Five in the West with the Warriors winning 67 games. Point is there, it's generally 6-8 over the last 5 years. So like put that, you know, into consideration when you're doing your over unders that there's probably going to be about that. And I think that feels right, especially because now we get, it feels with the, I mean, call it parity or whatever, but it's, we are getting, it feels like we're getting less and less like powerhouse 65 win teams and more, you know, just that 50 to 55 range. We've seen that a couple times in a couple of these conferences. So I'm with you. I like the Nuggets over 50.5 that we had on the board accidentally,
but
maybe just under that 54.5 too, because I think, why wouldn't they try and do what they did last year? You know, maybe they build a lead again and they're like, okay, let's just rest up, take it easy as we go into the playoffs. Moving on to the Pacific Division. This one is stacked.
It's a chunky division.
Oh my God. Over under win totals. Suns 51.5. The Warriors 49.5. The Lakers 48.5, the Clippers 46.5, and the Kings, maybe disrespected, at 43.5. But holy crap, what a division! I mean, the lowest number here, 43.5, is pretty wild. Which one of these squads are you circling?
This is a tough division to be in, and a tough division I feel like to pick over unders because the Suns, Warriors, Lakers, and Clippers are such toss-ups to me because there are such big health concerns with all of those teams. So, I don't know. Let's go talk about a team that didn't have health concerns at all last year. The Sacramento Kings, 43.5. That is a low number. But all of their starters last year played at least 73 games. That's pretty rare to have your least available starter miss 9 games in a season. That doesn't happen in today's NBA.
It's true.
They won 48 games last year. They brought everybody back. They're betting on continuity. So, I'm thinking still over. Like, I think they could get to 44 wins. Are they going to be challenging for 50? Probably not, because they're in this division.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really tough division. So I think Sacramento, to me, is that's weird to say, probably the steadiest team here that you can, like, expect to be the most reliable.
Right.
Clip this for the middle of February. We'll see how it's going, but I do like the over for Sacramento.
I'm with you. I think this is the best thing that could happen to the Sacramento Kings, though, and their fan base and everything. This blatant disrespect. You know, this was one of the better teams in the Western Conference, and then here they are at the bottom of their own division at 43.5 wins, not a whole lot. Like, what did we just say? This is the same as the Wolves and Thunder, right? I mean, you put it that way. Again, I get it and all that. They're in this tough, tough division, but this is good. They can use it sort of like for motive. You know Mike Brown is going to print this out and clip it or whatever and have it there in their locker room or in their practice facility. I like that they didn't panic following last season's success. I know a lot of us were like, oh, make a move for a power forward. Oh, okay, get off of Harrison Barnes. And they didn't. And they're like, no, we're going to keep the band together. We're going to bring in the EuroLeague MVP for more shooting. Continuity is our biggest strength. Health was as well. I just want to know, can they evolve a little bit as a defensive team? Right? Can they get a little bit stronger on that end? Because if they can, and Mike Brown can implement that a little bit more, they can buy into it a little bit more, then this is going to still be easily a 44-plus win team, I think. And probably, honestly, probably flirting with that 50, just like they did last year. So I like the over on this one. Because you said it, like, Clippers would never touch it. I would never bet it in a million years. There's no way you can bank on any of those guys playing enough and being healthy. Lakers, unfortunately, you get into the whole AD and LeBron part of it. Same thing. Though they looked amazing after the trade deadline where they had a whole new squad. And then, Suns, you think. I think
they
a lot of people will go over.
Yep.
Yeah, with their new big three. And then the Warriors, I mean, that feels... I mean, that's a perfect number, actually, for them. Because that's probably right where they're probably going to be. So it's a tough division. I agree with you.
Yeah, 44 wins for the Warriors last year. They could not win a road game at all last year.
Right.
They came into the season with the Jordan Poole versus Draymond Green drama, which, as we've found out since the season ended, was kind of hanging over their heads for the entirety of the season. But they're like, if Steph goes down for 20 games, they're going under. Same with the Suns. If KD goes under for 20 games, they're probably going under. And that's the case with the Lakers. That's the case with the Clippers. When you're like looking at a Clippers over under and you're like, if they get 50 plus games from Kawhi and Paul George, they got it.
Yeah.
50 plus games from Kawhi and Paul George, good luck.
Yeah, don't hold your breath. All right, final division here. The Southwest division, over under win totals. Grizzlies, 45.5. Tied with the Mavericks, 45.5. Pelicans, not far behind them, 43.5. And then quite a drop off to the Rockets at 31.5 and the Spurs at 30.5. So I was actually wrong there when we were in the Eastern Conference. The Wizards with by far the worst over-under total at 24.5. And then I guess Pistons next there on the board. But what do you think? Southwest Division. Who you got?
The bottom two numbers are too high. Rockets is way too high. Spurs is way too high. Like, I like Victor Wembanyama. I think he's going to be a great player, but is he worth 9 wins immediately? I don't know. That's a lot for a rookie, even if he's like the most hyped rookie we've seen. LeBron's first Cleveland team was still bad. Anthony Davis's first New Orleans Pelicans team was still bad. So I don't think he's going to make them win 9 more games, especially since the Western Conference is still pretty strong. I also feel the same way about the Rockets. 10 more wins because they added Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, Jeff Green, and Ime Udoka. Math ain't mathin' to me.
Math ain't mathin'. It is a lot. It's a heck of a jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if that number's in your 25 sort of area, then I think you're probably maybe like, ooh, okay, maybe they could flirt with that.
Definitely.
But that's a jump, no doubt, to 31.5 for Denver. This is a weird division, too, when I really step back and look at it. I mean, the Grizzlies, they got the whole Ja Morant thing. I mean, he's going to miss a massive chunk of the season. Tyus Jones isn't there to be their sort of nominal point guard at that point. So, okay, does that affect them? And the Mavericks, I mean, this team was like the most perplexing team of all time last season. It's like 45.5, and then Pelicans might have been, they may as well be in the Pacific Division because they're like, does Zion play?
Yeah, exactly.
If he plays, they're really good. And if he doesn't, then they're at a disadvantage. So it always comes down to that. Like, that's why it's such a crapshoot. It's like, God, you're like betting on, of all the stars, like, who's going to be healthy? Who's
going
to play?
Yeah.
Because they have such an impact on the game. But yeah, I'm with you on the Rockets Spurs. They've pumped that number a little too high for both of them. If it was, again, like in the mid-20s, then you could talk me into it. But that's a big jump for both of those teams.
That's a big jump. And, you know, teams are still good in the Western Conference. They're still going to be stacked. Yeah. Like, you look at this division, they have no teams that are even approaching 50 wins. Like, who do you think is most likely to get 50 wins? The Grizzlies, the Mavericks, or the Pelicans? It ain't happening for Houston and San Antonio.
Of those three? Oh, boy. I guess the Mavericks. I didn't say that with a lot of confidence.
I think they should go over. Their team is better than they were last year. They tanked it away at the end of the season. They obviously had the Kyrie Irving trade, which just they couldn't get on the same page. Him and Luka, really. They'll have a better chance this year. We're getting to see some classic Luka Doncic's in shape.
Oh, yes, going around, I love that.
And I think the Grizzlies will have a better record though. They do have Marcus Smart subbing in for Ja Morant while he's out. Tyus Jones, obviously gone. 56 wins and 51 wins the last couple of seasons for Memphis. And they had pretty bad injury luck last year. Jaren Jackson Jr. missed a huge chunk of time. Brandon Clark, I think, is still out. I don't know if he's even going to be playing this year. He's got an Achilles tear. And Steven Adams missed like 40 games, and he's a hugely important player for them as well. It'll be interesting to see how they do these 25 games that Ja suspended. That probably determines their over-under for the year, how well they play then. But I think they can survive with Smart in for him.
Yeah, and when you think about the Mavericks, what they did, I guess Grant Williams was their big addition. Obviously did some work in the draft with Lively the second. Seth Curry is there.
Yep.
Re-signed Kyrie, of course. Re-signed Dwight Powell. Rashawn Holmes comes over. So they tried to like shore up their bigs a little bit, and I think there's more talents. There's the other Canadian kid, rookie Prosper. I don't know if he gets a chance, but yeah, it's really like Kyrie and Luka and that dynamic. Mm-hmm. Can they get them back to the postseason? I mean, they're banking on that. All right, those are the over-unders. You tell us, you've been telling us here in the stream team, a couple of the tastiest ones to you in terms of, ooh, you like the over, ooh, hit the under. And like I said, later in the summer, really into the fall, when we get closer to the season, we'll go through every single team. Some of these numbers might change, and we'll eventually have a Blazers number, you would assume, at some point.
Just keeping it off the
whole
time. Yeah,
they're keeping it off the board for now.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, let's start wrapping up this drop podcast though with some rapid fire fun. Yeah, JD, you got the questions.
I have the questions. That's right. Guys, a couple of weeks ago, an article dropped on GQ.com with this headline: spouse out of town, it's time for husband meal. Mm-hmm. You've heard of girl dinner. Now GQ explores what men eat when they're home alone. Now, for the uninitiated, a girl dinner, according to GQ, consists of mostly snackable items that go well with wine, in my mind. Basically, it's a charcuterie board.
Yeah.
And a husband meal is essentially anything that is best eaten over the kitchen sink. Like, I'm talking Hot Pockets or frozen burritos. Matt and I already discussed this on Is This Good? But I'm curious, what's your go-to husband meal, Skeets?
Thin crust frozen pizza.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, I like to take to the pie skies with my friend the Red Baron, but I'm
Salute.
Not that picky when it comes to the brand. I like a lot of them, but this is my go-to. The truth is, when Nora is gone, I do eat like complete dog shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I am not a great cook, and I admit as much. So I just eat, yeah, frozen pizzas or, you know, fries and nuggets or tenders from the freezer, or hell, maybe a grilled cheese, maybe
Woo!
Some macaroni.
Yeah,
I mean, I eat like a 17-year-old kid. Like, Nora's convinced, like, if she were to ever leave me, like, I would just waste away.
So I remember stopping by your place once when Nora was out of town and you were eating eggs at like 9:30 at night.
I do love eggs. Breakfast, I'm okay. I'm always good. I make my own breakfast. But yeah, it's the other meals that I struggle with. But no, especially over the kitchen sink part. I like that little wrinkle that you added there, JD, mm-hmm. or GQ did. Thin crust frozen pizza. You know, it's flaky. It's crispy. It's,
yeah, flavor? Four cheese. I know the Red Baron is famous for that.
I like them. I do like them all. This is controversial. I'm a barbecue chicken guy on a pizza. I like a sweet pizza, right? Mm-hmm. I know there's some of these hot and honey type sort of drizzles now. Yep, I like that. I'm a fan of those. Nora can't stand them. So that's definitely why I'm eating them when she's gone.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want a slice.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's my answer.
For sure. Trent?
If it's a freezer meal, I'm going with 30 pizza rolls covered in hot sauce.
Wow.
I know nobody else in the house is eating those pizza rolls. I just tried a buffalo chicken pizza roll. Nah.
Nah.
And a pizza roll, like these little, like.
It's like an egg roll, but a pizza, right?
I think that would be a compliment to the pizza roll.
Oh, okay.
It's like a little dough pillow.
Yeah.
Filled with pepperoni.
Yeah.
It's the super poor man's gnocchi.
Totally.
But if it's a call-it-in meal, I'm calling it in from Wings Mania.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's my favorite local wing spot. Not Wing Mania. Wings Mania. Which I think is hilarious.
Okay. JD, what about you?
Yeah, me, I put a little more effort into mine. I like to throw a steak onto a charcoal barbecue, so I'm like doing work.
Jeez, dirty work.
Yeah, well, I'm not really allowed to, I'm trying to cut down on my red meat intake, so if the kids and Rachel are out of town, I'm definitely throwing a steak on the barbecue. Caesar salad, some red wine, and one of my guiltiest pleasures, Rice-A-Roni, man.
Oh,
I love Rice-A-Roni for some reason.
I heard you talk about that one. Is this good?
It's one of my dirtiest secrets. I love it.
And,
I don't know what it is.
And for those that don't know what that is, like just boxed?
It's a box. It's instant, basically rice, but it's got little vermicelli noodles in it.
Okay.
And then there's usually a flavor with it, like chicken or stir fry or Italian. Chicken's my go-to.
That you just undo the packet and put it in.
You undo it.
It's like macaroni and cheese.
Basically. Yeah. It's like the macaroni and cheese of rice dishes. and that's what I have.
Yours is that's a classy meal.
Thank you.
That's very good.
Take away the Rice-A-Roni and it's actually, it's a meal that you would serve to somebody.
There you go.
So, yeah. All right, next one. Here's another recent headline. This one comes from the Wall Street Journal. It says, people are hiring D-list celebrities to deliver their bad news. That's right. People are using the celebrity messaging site Cameo to do their dirty work. Someone hired William Hung to quit their job. Someone else hired James Kennedy from Vanderpump to apologize to her sister for calling her a, quote, slutty skeleton. Right before the wedding, too.
Jesus.
Skeets, what celebrity would you want telling you bad news?
Sort of like James Kennedy now that you've said that in the answer. But I want a very friendly person to give me the bad news.
Yes.
Preferably, I'd like them to be Canadian. So
sure.
I'm going, and obviously they need to be a celebrity to answer the question. So I am going Keanu Reeves.
Oh, ooh, nice. That's good.
By all accounts, this guy is like the coolest, nicest celebrity in the world.
Totally.
So if it was bad news, I feel like if he was on there, it would just help me take it and digest it. So,
very warm personality. He'd look you right in the eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd brush his hair away and say, she's leaving.
And it wouldn't feel like a cameo. Yeah, your wife is leaving you. You're going to have to eat a lot of frozen pizza.
That's right.
Cook away, boys.
Yeah, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't be reading the cameo text that this person has sent in this weird hypothetical Nora has sent to Keanu Reeves to break up with me and divorce me.
Can you imagine?
But I think he'd be great.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Trey?
It depends on the news. Either Selma Hayek or Seth Rogen.
How does it depend on the news?
I feel like if it's a tragedy, I would rather have Selma Hayek telling me because I think she would do like a great like soothing, oh, it's okay kind of voice. Yeah.
I don't think I'd hear a word she
same,
said to me.
Same. I was just gonna say that. She's like, oh my god, Salma Hayek's talking
to
me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then Seth Rogen, what type of?
If it's something I think we're gonna laugh about later, you know, I would love to have his laugh included, like imprinted in my brain as part of the memory.
Okay. Okay.
He's got a great laugh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think I can do a Rogan laugh. He's like eight octaves deeper than
yeah.
It's very gravelly. Yeah.
I do want to go see the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Oh, yeah, I heard you're going.
I am going to go. I don't have tickets yet, but I'm trying to take the God Kids. Yeah. It looks. I saw another trailer for it. I finally saw Barbie, and then once again saw that trailer for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It just looks awesome.
It looks cool.
And the cast is incredible. And it looks pretty funny, so
yeah,
go check that
it's
out. So Seth
reviews.
Rogen, yeah. Okay. What do you got?
My celebrity. It's the late great Pee Wee Herman. I mean, maybe because he's top of the brain, but yeah. God, it would be great to get bad news from Pee Wee Herman in character,
full
of course.
Character.
Oh yeah. just like it would just go down so much easier. R.I.P. Pee Wee.
Yeah, you were a huge Pee Wee Herman.
Loved
yeah.
Pee Wee. Paul Rubens. Yeah, like. Just an absolute original. Loved him.
Yep.
All right. Last one. And it's a pants update. That's
oh,
right. More than a
update.
Month ago. One of the weirder questions we've ever had on
Should
on
I
Rapid
buy these
Fire.
Pants?
Yeah.
Was that the question? Yeah.
I solicited some advice from you guys.
That's good.
And I basically wanted to know if I should purchase a pair of large pocket cargo paratrooper pants. And the verdict was a resounding hell yeah. Get the damn pants.
Yep.
Which was good because I had already ordered them. Well, here's the update. Still haven't received them.
Whoa.
It's been well over a month.
It's been a long time.
I've sent them 2 emails.
Really?
I'm getting some broken English back. Oh, that's, they're very nice pants. They're very popular. Don't worry. They're coming.
Can't keep them in stock. Sorry.
That's right. Be patient, sir. They're telling me. Anyway, here's the question. What's the longest you waited for something that ended up being totally worth it? Skeets.
My sappy answer is getting a dog, no doubt. Getting sweet Luna in my life. There she is
there she
with
is.
Gunther. That's her new friend on the left there. I think that's that might be Gemma there in the back. But yeah, never had a dog growing up. Gunther. Always wanted one. And then lived in Toronto for a long time, but in small condos. And it's like, didn't feel like the right place to have a dog. But of course, having one over these last 3 years, we nearly had Luna for 3 years.
Wow.
This September will be our anniversary. So getting a dog. And my other answer to this is waiting so long to finally start up and watch What We Do in the Shadows.
Mm.
Oh my God. This show is hilarious.
Yes.
And I loved the movie. Watched it when it came out, like obviously a long time ago.
Yep.
Knew there was a television show, but I think people did a poor job telling me about this show.
I told you about this
Yeah, but
show.
Like you downplayed it too much.
Did
like,
I?
I thought, honestly, in my head that this show was like a CBS sitcom.
Right.
Like a real watered down version right. of obviously the movie.
Right.
So I didn't realize that this was an FX full like, you know, swearing,
yeah.
like mature subject matter and like how goddamn funny this show is. Nora and I are now ripping through it. We're already up to like we're almost at season 5.
Yeah.
And what I love about the show is every 2 or 3 episodes, my favorite character changes. It's like I'm like, oh, Laszlo is the funniest
yeah.
by far, or Nadja is the funniest by
right.
far, or Colin Robinson is the funniest. It's like amazing. Like
yeah.
every couple episodes it changes. So,
And yeah, they do a good job of bringing new people in. Like Kristen Schaal comes
yeah,
in and she's
yeah.
great. And
oh,
yeah,
and then what's the devious guy who's playing that guy? You love this comedian. Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank.
Jermaine?
No.
They appear.
Yeah. Oh my God, somebody in the stream team tell me. He's a popular, he's the Big Mouth guy. Nick Kroll.
Yeah, of course, nice. Of course. Yeah,
such
yeah.
a funny character.
Yeah, with the hat.
And I also love the show. It's like you obviously can just plop on any episode and like whatever, like you can pick it up where it is, but there's like so many funny callbacks and
right.
stuff like that. So anyway, I'm all in on it. It's been worth the wait, and now we just get to like rip through all these seasons.
Totally.
And they're still making them, right?
Yeah.
As far
so,
as I know. What we do in the shadows and getting a dog.
Great answers.
Worth the wait.
Try.
For me, it was seeing Dead & Company in 2021. They didn't tour in 2020 because of the pandemic, mm-hmm. obviously. I'd missed the tours a couple of years previous, either for NBA Finals-related reasons or they just didn't come to Atlanta for whatever reason. So Raleigh, North Carolina, 2021, they were back, played Touch of Grey. The very first song, We Will Get By, We Will Survive, very fitting. Great times. Great times with Larry and Woody.
And you've seen them how many times since then?
I saw him 2 times after that.
Yeah. And in theory, they're done. Are they?
Yeah. I mean, Johnny Mayer is putting up Instagrams like the day after saying, we just don't have a next show scheduled. We're still a band. Did they call it the final tour in 2023? Yeah, they did. Yeah.
This is the equivalent of someone dying in the Fast and Furious.
Exactly.
This is my Lee Ellis going to Elton John's final tour every 2 seasons.
Yeah, exactly.
2 seasons.
Yeah, except that the members of the Dead can literally die, but the band won't die.
Yeah, that's the problem. It feels more
goes
final.
On and on.
All right, JD, take us home.
Yeah, I mean, other than these pants, which I'm sure are going to be very, very worth it.
Right.
Waiting to move to Atlanta. Do you remember how excruciatingly long that was and whether or not it was actually going to happen?
Right.
That was just really, from the time where it became like a germ of an idea, it's like, are we actually going to do this, to actually moving here, was a very long time, but 100% worth it,
yes,
I would say.
Yes.
So
some bumps in the road.
Oh my God, of course.
I remember when we first came and had the real estate guy show us as an entire group.
Yeah, Quincy.
Places. All to house.
Quincy in his tiny car. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I get it just for like, I guess showing more neighborhoods and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was like, I remember after that, it was like, everybody's like, are we doing the right thing here? Like, where the hell is he showing us? Did we even see a place that anybody liked? I don't think so. We got there in the end. Totally worth the wait. We're still here.
We're still here, 10 years later. Almost coming up on our 10-year anniversary in Atlanta. That is insane.
Oh, yeah. September, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
End of September.
September, big month for me. Anniversary of getting a dog. Anniversary of moving here.
That's big time.
Anything else?
Joe Mandy's performing in Athens.
That's big.
I'm sure you had that down on the
list. Well, I'm sort of upset by that. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in Italy. Yeah, he's here while I'm gone. I was very bummed.
Where is he playing? Is he playing in Atlanta or is he in Athens?
Maybe he's in Atlanta. He's in Atlanta, City Winery.
Yeah, that's
right.
Oh,
really? Okay.
Yeah, joemandy.com for your tickets. He's doing some promo.
Hell yeah.
I like that. That'd be a great show. All right, that's Rapid Fire. That's another Drop podcast. I got to remind you to not only go listen to No Butts, like I told you off the top of the show, but there is a new Is This Good podcast up. It's The Great Beyond. It's JD and Matty O chopping it up. And I guess you guys did almost like a mini film session for the latest Mission Impossible.
Yes, that's exactly right. At the end of the show, so because there's spoilers in it, we waited till the very end of the show and we break it down for about 25 minutes.
Wow.
On Mission Impossible 7. Dead retconning. That's what Matt called it. I thought that was really good.
Okay, great. And I think he said, I started this one, he said off the top that he was going to see Barbie and that he has tickets for Oppenheimer.
He has tickets for Oppenheimer. He's going. I think he saw Barbie last night and he wrote me into seeing it. So now we're going to talk about Barbie next week.
You should obviously see it.
Yeah, I want to see it for sure.
Okay, I got it. So I've seen now Oppenheimer and Barbie. Now I got
to
go see Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
it's still in theaters, right?
Yeah, yep. Okay. I think so.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
Come on. We got to save this thing. It's not doing well.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer and Barbie just swooped in.
Poor timing there on Tom's part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kicked him out of the IMAX theaters.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I thought Mission Impossible was always more of a late summer release, too. I thought they generally did that. But,
hey, I would argue that Oppenheimer should be an Oscar season-y thing anyway in, like, September or October.
Okay.
So, just throwing that out there.
Okay. Oh, man. That fly nearly sat right on my computer there. Still going. So, anyway, go listen to The Great Beyond. That's in the Is This Good podcast and YouTube feed.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up on Monday, and we will have it in No Dunks, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. This was the special guest that we were teasing. Matty O and JD, they got Cam Stewart from the old score days. Swim up bar, looking good, feeling good.
Oh!
Wow.
Swim up bar, looking good.
Oh my goodness.
That a drop?
You guys, you had drops during Cam's?
Yeah, we played some of his classic drops and got him to break them down. Yeah.
Oh my God. Cam Stewart is on Is This Good coming Monday. Again, in the ITG feed, or we'll also have it here in No Dunks because, like, How could we not?
Yeah, exactly.
I am so excited for
this.
That's
going to be great.
I can't tell you how excited I am to hear Matteo and JD talk
I honestly don't think I say two words in this. Like, you just wind them up and you let
them go. That's the best. That's where the gold comes from.
Exactly.
That's where the stories about, like, neighbors smelling like cabbage comes from. Yeah. And, like, all of his best hits.
Yeah. I can't believe you played him his clips. I mean, like, the guy talks all the time. He's like... That's awesome. That's very like Chris Farley show to me.
Yeah, yeah,
remember that time you said that was awesome.
Did he have a favorite? Like without
the swim up bar was definitely evoked the favorite memory.
Oh
of
yours, yeah.
For sure, yeah.
All right, can't wait. Is this good on Monday? And then we'll be back here in the Classic Factory on Tuesday. Jerome will be joining us live from Toronto. We're going to do another episode of Squad, the show where we're the GMs and we get to drafting. And we're going to have a fun basketball angle to this one. We're going to be drafting the perfect player in five different categories. Real Frankenstein type stuff. So that'll be on Tuesday. So make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave your boys a five-star rating and review. And we will see you next week with some gold content starting the week there with Cam. I don't know how we're going to top that, but we'll try. Thanks for joining us here, though. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. Until Monday, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, we got a fly flying around, and I'm taking a risk here, JD, but it looks like that camera is pointed at a dog that's been sleeping in the corner.
He moved. So there are his legs.
There's those
there's
paws.
There he is.
There's the head. That's a sleepy dog.
Oh, I nearly got the fly. Brace the day, people.